Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to The Week on Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins. This week we have a lot of industry news to catch up on, as well as an interesting talk about changes in the digital signage market with Neil Willis, CEO and founder of Hypersign. Hypersign is also a new sponsor of Rave Radio, so I thought it would be a good opportunity for a chat with Neil. We'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me also remind you to take a listen to our other podcasts, like the Green AV Podcast, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects important to our industry. And so, without further ado, let's talk about what's going on now in the world of AV. Well, first of all, from the world of music, Gibson Guitar has offered $52 million to buy 54% of the issued and outstanding shares of TIAC. The tender offer began April 1st and will remain open for 21 Japanese business days. Upon completion of the acquisition, TIAC will expand the size and reach of Gibson's Pro Audio business with products that complement the KRK, Serwin Vega, and Stanton portfolio of studio monitors, sound reinforcement equipment, and DJ gear, respectively. In future product development, TIAC has the potential to add value to the Gibson M, or musical instrument, segments, even with the fretted instrument category. And this deal adds to the premium consumer electronics with Gibson's other Japanese strategic partner, Onkyo. TIAC is also widely recognized for high-grade audio through its Esoteric brand, including multi-channel recorders, handheld recorders, and Apple iOS devices, with growing opportunities in mixers and computer audio interfaces. Another overlap in interests is that TIAC is acknowledged as initiating the home recording revolution by introducing affordable multi-track recording, a technology invented by Les Paul, whose namesake Gibson guitar has established itself as the most coveted electric guitar of all time. One personal note, as a longtime buyer and player of Fender guitars, I would disagree with this, but there's no doubt that Gibson contributed enormously to the overall prevalence of electric guitar. So TIAC's product lines range from industrial data acquisition and storage, high-end audio, disc publishing, medical video, and broadcast into a broad-based consumer market through their Tascam division. The company's leadership in multi-channel recorders, sound contractor products, field recorders, audio interfaces, and more has resulted in breakthrough products like the self-contained Porta Studio that includes all elements needed to produce professionally quality recordings while retaining a consumer-friendly price. This is yet another step in Gibson's aim to become the largest music and sound business. In January 2012, Gibson announced a strategic alliance with Onkyo, a worldwide leader in consumer audio, where both companies made investments into each other. TIAC will continue to be led by the current management, while Gibson Guitar, obviously, is all for playing some new tunes. Another thing, in the world of the unsurprising, China is on pace to surpass the U.S. as the world's largest digital out-of-home market in 2013. China's digital out-of-home market was surging towards 40% annual growth in the third quarter of 2012, and the country's blistering expansion pace may drive it past the U.S. as the world's largest market in 2013, according to PQ Media. Revenues generated by China's digital out-of-home network and billboard operators were pacing for a 40% year-over-year growth in the third quarter of 2012, which would push the Chinese market past the $2 billion mark for the year, trailing only the U.S. and gaining fast. An accelerated 2012 performance would follow a 39% expansion in 2011, when China became only the second market besides the U.S. to exceed $1 billion in annual revenues. According to preliminary data released from the PQ Media Global Digital Out-of-Home Media Forecast for 2013 to 2017, in real dollars, the Chinese market expanded by more than $400 million in 2011, nearly doubling in size compared with 2009. In manufacturer news, Sharp Corporation of Japan says it's selling off its 9.2% shareholdings in Pioneer Corporation. Currently, Sharp is the largest shareholder on record in Pioneer, with 30 million shares of Pioneer valued at 6.3 billion yen, or U.S. 63.8 million. Back in 2007, the two firms made a partnership to jointly develop consumer electronics products. Now that seems like a luxury to Sharp, a luxury they can't afford. so Sharp is looking for a buyer. The proceeds of the sale would help pay off Sharp's corporate debt of $2.14 billion. Pioneer would continue to retain 10 million shares, or 0.8% shareholding in Sharp. Even with the divestment, the two companies would continue to partner on smaller scale fields such as optical discs. In other manufacturer news from U.S. manufacturers, Extron's newly announced Window Wall Pro system is fully HDCP compliant at all HDMI inputs and outputs. Window Wall console software is the user interface to the system, facilitating straightforward control and configuration of video wall systems and the creation of presentations with multiple independent windows for displaying graphics, HDTV, and video. Each Window Wall Pro processor allows for the display of up to four windows and employs Extron video processing technologies to deliver a fully optimized, high-quality, real-time video output. Because a discrete processor is dedicated to each display unit in the video wall, Window Wall Pro is fully scalable, supporting a wide variety of display layouts from 1x2 to 2x3 and larger. The HDMI inputs, outputs, and universal analog video inputs support signal rates up to 1920 by 1200 and HDTV at 1080p, plus 2K on the HDMI connections. Each Window Wall processor features an HDMI background input, which allows a full-motion, high-resolution computer video or HDTV signal to be used as a background image to any presentation. More about the product can be found at www.ravepubs.com and, of course, at www.extron.com. News from Philips. Redesigned from the inside out, the new Philips EL series of LED edge-lit LCD panels includes some unique features. One, called Failover, allows the sign to keep playing digital signage content even if the network fails, because it's smart enough to automatically kick in when primary input fails and switch to a different one. Simply select a primary input connection and a failover input connection, and you're ready. Another feature, called Smart Control, allows you to set the video input, modify the color settings, set the display's ID when creating video walls, and even diagnose each display's status, giving you all the power you need to manage your displays from one central location. And another feature, called Advanced IR Control, allows for both IR loop-through via RS-232 connection and IR pass-through, giving integrators the ability to control an entire installation of displays, plus hidden media players via remote control. This means you don't have to dismantle a signage installation to access hidden media players and mounted displays. One final note of interest this week, Anthony Coppedge's recent article on DSLRs changing church production was really interesting to me. I'm an avid photographer and I own a number of high-end DSLRs. But he talks about how new consumer technologies can affect the AV market in both good and bad ways. I think it applies across the board, and you can read it at www.ravepubs.com. That's it for today's news. Now let's move right along with our guest segment for the week. Well, folks, as I mentioned near the top of the show, with us today is Neil Willis, who's CEO and founder of Hypersign, our new sponsor. Hypersign is a company that's won a lot of innovation awards recently, including a couple from us at Rave. So, Neil, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Well, Neil, as I was telling our readers earlier, most of my background, as they'll know, is from the staging end of the industry. And when I saw the initial projections for the digital signage market, I was quoted as saying that if we were going to sell that much digital signage, we were going to run out of walls. Those predictions at the time weren't even close to what we're hitting now. It's become an awfully exciting market, as you obviously know. One of the things I was interested about with Hypersign is that you chose to break into the market through a couple of key vertical markets. What were they?
We really wanted to focus on three primary vertical markets, being education, you know, some sub-verticals in there with K-12 and higher ed, healthcare, and manufacturing. Our primary push with Hypersign was in education. And we felt like that vertical market was really, really very they were prime for that technology introduction, not only in like the food courts, like you would be obvious to everybody, but also in a lot of the common areas and even classrooms. We had the progression of the visual displays inside the classrooms and the projectors with, the bulb life being, very short from the, all the ambient light and trying to be LEED compliant in the classrooms to where the displays in the classroom really made a very compelling reason to be able to consider it. And now we introduce digital signage to the classroom. So now we exponentially increase our potential inside that market. So we felt like that, along with all the common area, you know, uses and things of that nature, really saw education as a very, very a good market to be a part of it. And we chose not to really focus on who most people do focus on, which is retail inside digital signage. So we want to focus more on the enterprise space. So in healthcare, for a lot of the same reasons, patient rooms, common areas, things of that nature, as we do education. So, I'm very happy. I'm very happy how it's growing. I think the numbers right now are 27-28% CAGR, you know, so being a digital science software company and inside the market right now where it is a good time. It's a good place to be.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. You've won a number of product innovation awards. What makes Hypersign different than its competitors, than the other products that are out there in digital signage?
I think that we do not focus solely on a single or linear focus on how to deliver signage to an individual. We see digital signage as being any public display. And if you look at it that way, I think a lot of organizations see flat panel LEDs, LCDs on the wall as being their modality. That's their endpoint. And we see it really different. We see that, okay, we want to be able to take information and almost digital signage becomes almost a dated term in a sense, because what we're doing is we're delivering content, personal content, to either a small group or either an individual or a small group of people. And that display could be anything. It could be a mobile device. It could be a digital display on the wall. It could be a DOT sign going down a freeway. We look at the modalities with Hypersign and how we design the software as being any way we can get that information from the person, any kind of public display. And when you do that, you really open up the possibility to say, how can we use this? How can we use it to be able to send information to those individuals, not necessarily just ads, but how do we educate them? How do we protect them? How do we do the things that allow us to send that content to those individuals? And when you do that, it becomes so much more than just a signage display on the wall. It becomes a content delivery system. That's the approach.
I find it fascinating that you say that, because in meetings with clients recently where we're showing them digital signage product, one of the things they keep coming back to is saying, well, that's great. How do we bring that to a mobile device? Or how do we bring that to the desktop? And one of the things is, I guess I'm unprepared for some of those questions, because I think of digital signage as great, it hangs on the wall, and we send it information from some other location. Two things I saw about Hypersign is, one is that philosophically you're different than that, and two is that you have a method of integration of that information that I found friendly. I looked at what you do with your templates and things like that, and I thought it was fascinating that you have multiple drop zones for different kinds of information and the way you bring it together. How did that evolve?
We were originally, Hypersign was born out of my integration company, Synergy Systems, and we were doing a large project in Charleston, and we were installing a digital signage display across the food court and across different common areas. And the software solution was very expensive. Had separate design software, separate design titles to be able to create content for the digital signage. And I remember, I think this job was around $5 million. It was a large job. And so I remember walking into the school and seeing, we had a big video wall in the commons area, and seeing content that really had not been updated in almost a month. And so I went to the manager for it, and I went to even the cafeteria manager in the food court, and I said, what's going on? As a good company, you don't want your customers not using your product, because pretty much they won't use it for future projects. So they said, it's just too hard. We give food to kids, in the cafeteria. We want to be able to give them basic information. And she goes, this is just too hard. And this was back in 2008. I asked him, I said, well, how can we make it easier? And they said, well, let's use something that everybody knows to be able to create content. I said, well, like what? And they said, well, PowerPoint. I'm like, oh, great. We're going to put PowerPoint on the PC and do a scan converter and go ahead and put it up on the PC. And she says, no, I want live television over here too. And I want that, that thing where all the news pops up, the text and stuff. I said, RSS news feed? She goes, yeah. She says, I want that too. So that became an interesting, we've been really involved in IPTV. And having IPTV products for the education market, we've done that for years. So we were poised to be able to create a solution that was going to be easy to use. So that was our focus, not focusing on software bloat. We didn't want to create new features every other year just to force somebody to buy $400 or $500 software title, like maybe a Microsoft Office maybe. We wanted to have a very intuitive, very easy to use, that where someone could walk up and start to use and create digital content and become a digital author with virtually no training. And that was our focus. And so within 6 months, we had a prototype out that we showed that school, and now the entire school district, about 40 schools, uses our solution. And but we didn't want to just stop at digital science. We didn't want to stop at getting information out of the display. How can we make this so useful? How can we end up having such a high rate of ROI with our solution that they couldn't live without it? You know, so we started coming up with ideas. How do we make this a platform for creating digital content and for displaying digital content on multiple modalities? So we made it very easy, like with the PowerPoint conversion. We didn't want a lot of other companies take it and chop it into JPEGs and put it into a slideshow. We maintain all the transitions, animations, and to our knowledge, I think we're the only ones that do that. Another thing is we want to make it interactive. So now CyberSign is completely interactive. With everything that's happening in school, unfortunately, with all the things like with Newtown, years ago we came out with a feature called HyperSign Alert, which we were blessed enough to be able to get the Rave Award for that at DSE years ago, that works with overhead paging systems inside schools and hospitals and large venues like that to give visual alerts within 500 milliseconds of an emergency as it's triggered either through a hardware trigger switch inside the front administration office, through a software on a phone, or things of that nature. And that's one area that makes us unique. So as we build these different things on top of HyperSign, we see it more as a platform. You know, we see it more as a platform as we grow and say, okay, we want to secure an environment, we want to educate an environment, we want to inform an environment, and do those different things, not just a way to push, we got barbecue sandwiches for lunch today, to a display. So,
absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I've taught a lot of clients to work with a number of different digital signage products. My original start in the industry was in doing simulation work for the United States Air Force. And I am amazed by how difficult some of these software products can be to learn. It really has been stunning to me, because I look at it and I'm like, why? You literally are trying to teach a digital signage origination point, which in many corporations can be somebody at the front desk, right, to manage a network.
That's right. It
looked to me to be a little crazy. And when I looked into HyperSign, one of the things that is constant and that you constantly have to try and talk clients out of is the creation tool they all ask if they can use is PowerPoint. It's that ubiquitous. I'm no big PowerPoint fan. Matter of fact, I'm very Mac platform oriented. I think Keynote's a better product. But everybody asks for PowerPoint. So I think you chose to simply, you know, when you can't beat them, join them and make it easy and make it, flexible for them to do. I was fascinated by the choice of your two vertical markets. One was education, which, as some of the things you've said, there's a lot of good reasons for that in education. What led you into medical?
Well, that's an interesting topic, too. We were at – every one of these has a story, like the one I just told about the school that was having a problem with digital signage. This next one does too, in that we were involved in – a hospital had asked us to come and look at their new whiz-bang media delivery system inside of their acute care rooms. And we went and looked at it, and I saw an LED display in the wall inside the patient room. And automatically, as a geek, I'm looking for speakers, I'm looking for processors, I'm looking for something around the room. And I find this Dell mini tower in a corner on a little L bracket. And it's got an F jack, you know, broadband cable jack going back in. So automatically I'm thinking, okay, well, they put a little user interface on top of this video feed, this analog broadband video feed, and that's how they've done it. And then when the gentleman started to show us the interface, he brought up a movie. I think it was Ocean's 13. And all of a sudden I saw in the top right hand corner of the display it changed to channel 89. I'm like, all right, hold on a second. How many people in this hospital can see this movie? And he says, well, that's the funny thing, everybody can. I'm like, wow, you know, you're really kind of pushed the envelope. I said, how'd you get the content? You got a subscription or whatever? And he says, no, the guys that installed it had some DVDs in the back of their car. They put them in there. So, and this was several years ago. So I proceeded to tell the guys to listen. You're kind of pushing the envelope with some of these things, and we have some solution. We can deliver digital content, videos, on demand content, things of that nature. We've done it in the education environment. We can do it here too. So that was really became the birth inside that vertical market. And there's also some really compelling reasons for common areas. Because most of your hospitals and clinics, when they have waiting areas, how they entertain and have that what they call perceived wait time, which was actually birthed out of the amusement park industry. Right now, if you go through Disney and you go through Six Flags or Carowinds, you see these displays up everywhere inside the lines just because they're trying to minimize the perceived wait time. And same thing inside the hospitals or clinics, because they're not the best known for being on time for some of the things. But what they've done is they entertain them with Dr. Phil. You know, so what we're doing now is giving them the ability to give them really valid content to prevent maybe preventative care or things of that nature that they didn't not have before, and using digital signage to be able to deliver that content to the patient or to the families that are sitting there waiting. So there's several more reasons about why that's compelling. You know, like you can have antimicrobial type surfaces on your digital sign to make it interactive. And that becomes a very good application inside those common areas of the hospitals or clinics that they have not had before. And even the back office for doing key performance indicators and metrics for the hospital staff that are dynamically updated. There's so many, because they're going to operate just like a business would. So there's so many areas where we can use digital signage that we end up having this paradigm about let's only do it inside of the food courts. Let's only do it inside the cafeterias. Let's only do it, you know, in the common areas as people are seeing it. But there are dozens of more applications that we can end up using it. Any way we can inform, educate, or protect, you know, people.
One of the things, I was listening to a previous interview that you've done, and one of the things that fascinated me was bringing digital signage right to the patient bedside and some of the integration things that you've done there. Tell us a little bit about that.
We did a branding called LifeView, and this is our patient contentment system. And we looked at options to where a lot of the way the healthcare industry is changing right now is they are rewarding hospital systems. The Medicare program is rewarding hospital systems for patient contentment. So when they end up having surveys, customer satisfaction surveys, that is basing their Medicare payments on how happy those customers are. So we looked at options to where you always had the CRT television up in the top right-hand corner, corner of the hospital room that showed the basic television. But how can we end up enhancing that? So what we started to do is integrating those drop-zone apps like Hypersign has in with this new product that allowed you to run electronic medical records software into it. So from the bedside, a physician could come over and normally it's run to have digital content, which it may be live IPTV, it may be stuff about what's going on in the cafeteria or what's going on in the pediatric wing for activities. And now we can end up, physician can come up and, you know, either put in a PIN code or put his RFID card and ends up changing over his profile, and he's able to see electronic medical record software that he's got. And we've got about a dozen titles or so that we work with. So we wanted the ability to where the physician or the healthcare professional and the patient had access to infotainment, you know, education titles. Right now we're running about 1,000 titles in 9 different languages, and we have anywhere from 30 to 50 family-friendly movies delivered to the bedside. But all the emergency features associated with Hypersign Alert, in case there's a fire or intruder, it's all built into it. And we saw that patient room was really, really a valuable place because now the hospital's seeing money. They're saying, wow, we can actually get paid by actually satisfying our patients and by giving them, deterring them from their condition while they're in that room. You know, so while they're playing interactively with the devices or with the software, they're not really focusing so much on their illness. Especially children's hospital environment, that becomes very, very valuable and has scientifically been tied to actually improving health. So, we see some huge, huge potentials of that inside the acute care, ambulatory care, and now that we're actually servicing the iPad and the Samsung Galaxy Note, we see it inside the clinical or small clinic space. It becomes very affordable for those spaces as well.
You know, when over the last 10 years, we've seen an explosion in telemedicine, which has become an industry term for a market and for different types of capabilities. Is patient contentment another developing term? Is that what the hospitals are calling it?
Well, actually, that's our term. But we've actually had a couple of competitors start picking it up, but that was our term. But you can tie telemedicine into it too. I mean, because you have devices. If you look at an iPad or a Samsung Galaxy Note, they have built-in cameras, built-in microphones, and things of that nature. So as we're sitting there and we're pushing content to these individuals inside the bedside, digital content for like signage or live IPTV, it becomes a really valuable tool for doing collaboration with remote physicians. And we even introduced a tool that allows the physicians, even from a local office, to do what we call telerounds. Normally, a physician's office or physician would do about 3 to 4 visits per day inside of an acute care area. And by reducing just one of those, that we end up, our return on investment of that solution ends up turning around and paying positively just in a matter of months. So by having that tool to be able to do that, it allows the physician the freedom to say, I can stay in my office for this round and go ahead and do my telerounds, you know, virtually through a HIPAA-compliant high-end of encryption, conferencing connection to my client. But at the same time, that tool also serves as an entertainment, an information, a signage, an emergency display, all to that patient inside that room.
So you could see your term become an industry term, kind of like Kleenex and FedEx.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Absolutely. One of the things that I, you know, I was fascinated by, like I said, when I looked at the methodology for how your software is implemented, the drop zones, the use of PowerPoint, things like that. One of the other things that came to me from my background is in running a rental company, I always had a warehouse full of flat panels, and I was always looking for other ways that those could be rented to increase the size of a show. We get asked about digital signage for shows all the time, for being able to put them in a convention center through the lobby, to direct people to meeting rooms, to provide information off stage. One of the problems that we have with it has always been that the software required so much implementation that it just couldn't be done on a day of the show kind of basis. Can yours? Is it a rental market now?
I'll give you a scenario, and it was actually very similar to what you just said, and it fits that. We had an integrator, ITG, Integration Technology Group, out of Chicago. And they had an event going on in Chicago for a lot of the executives they had inside the business. And they called me up and they said, Neil, we need to go ahead and get some signage up and going. And we like the Mac Mini platform. You know, we use the Mac Minis because we're on the Mac, Windows, and Linux as far as operating system for our client. So the Mac Mini is a really good, powerful little machine and fairly inexpensive, you know, for what it offers. So they called us up and they said, we want to be able to, we got to get content, we got to have this going in 2 days. So what we did is we went ahead and set up them a cloud account, and they're able to create their content right then. So they started creating an account within 15, 20 minutes, they're creating content. So we get their Mac Minis, load the client. They could have very easily bought a Mac Mini at Apple Store and downloaded the client, had it going very quickly. I think they wanted to provide it. But the end result was they received their, I think they have 4 or 5 Mac Minis they received. They had already installed the displays. They plugged in the HDMI, plugged in the power, booted on the machine, and within 30 seconds, their content that they had been creating days prior was loaded. So from a rental and rigging environment, to have digital signage displays around an event and to be able to pre-plan and pre-create that content to where I know that I'm creating content for this particular player. And as soon as that player gets internet access, within a matter of seconds, it's downloaded and got the new content with it. That becomes a pretty powerful tool as a rental company. Say I can go ahead and create it for this entire event and do it before the event happens, and as soon as I plug in my device, it just updates all the stuff I plan for it to have.
That whole cross-platform friendliness appeals to me a lot, too. In the rental industry, especially the higher-end staging industry, we're a very Mac-oriented part of the industry, largely because the background in Macintosh video and audio editing is so strong that when you get into the people who do our creation in the rental side, you're seeing, I mean, almost all Macs, and you know, I was just at Infocom Live, which is a gathering of 100 of the top people from the rental industry, and the number of MacBooks and MacBook Airs that were sitting on those tables was incredible. Can the creation point for your software also be Mac-based?
I'm like you. I'm a big Keynote fan. I think Keynote is an absolutely fabulous tool. And what I've been able to do is right now we're supporting the PowerPoint from a slideshow presentation environment. Now, of course, Keynote has the ability to export itself to a PPT file, PPTX. So we do are supporting that. And I do all my content creation I do within Keynote. You know, we do support, you know, in the video defaultly, the on-demand video supports the M4V, which is the Apple codec, and the H.264 as well. So I do all my content creation with HyperSign on the Mac. It really has not inhibited me whatsoever. We have some really unique features associated with the Mac that's kind of unique. And Joel, we haven't talked about this, but this becomes really interesting on creating or increasing the ROI on HyperSign. Is that several years ago, probably a year and a half or so ago, Apple released a feature as part of the Apple TV called AirPlay Mirroring. Now, they did AirPlay with video and audio, but they did AirPlay mirroring to where you can actually take an iPad or a iPhone, you know, 4 or greater. You can actually, basically the capture of that in the full 720p resolution over the Wi-Fi network and pushed it to the Apple TV. Well, we thought about this. We have this digital signage solution in HyperSign that provides really very good, very easy to use signage. Number two, it provides interactive signage. Number three, it does emergency and alert inside of alert functionality, alert environments like the schools and stuff with overhead paging. But how can we make this an ad hoc presentation display? To where we're in a conference room, and we've got this 80-inch LED display that's up on the wall in the conference room when we do this at University of South Carolina, and they're doing signage on a regular basis inside there for all the people that are coming in for the meeting. If we can embed AirPlay mirroring into HyperSign, then we, in effect, could eliminate the use of cables coming up from the boardroom tables, but also increase the ability inside of a classroom for a teacher to be able to broadcast using an iPad or using another device to the HyperSign dynamically, making an ad hoc presentation environment. And that's what we did. We released this last October, that we have AirPlay mirroring built into HyperSign. And we have several schools to where they don't even use PCs or Macs. They use all the iPads. So we have classrooms of 20 students and one teacher with an 80-inch LED in a classroom. And what they do is the content, whether it's a web page or it's video, whatever it might be, they simply press a button, put in their PIN code, and they're broadcasting up their HyperSign using the Wi-Fi network. So we see that the Mac has introduced some great ideas that we've implemented into our environment. At the same time, what it did is allowed us to be able to increase the value of what we're offering, of just not just being a simple one-way digital signage solution, but being, like I said, that a interactive display, immersive display, and now a presentation display.
It's funny that you mentioned that. My own integration company, what we mostly do are very high-end boardrooms for the financial industry. We're in Southern Connecticut, the home of the hedge fund, and most of our clients are, you know, are extremely, extremely large, multi-billion-dollar investment companies. We cannot put in a boardroom for these people anymore without an Apple TV, and that's a direct client request because they're all carrying iPads, and they're all familiar with Apple with AirPlay mirroring from home. So it's like, you know, why would I have to actually hook anything up here? Why can't I just do what I do at home and send it to my Apple TV? So literally speaking, somewhere in the rack in every one of those boardrooms now is parked a little black Apple TV. So, you know, that end of things has, you know, Apple's changed that dynamically. And it sounds like you picked up on that real fast and have pushed it even farther. What's next in digital signage and for HyperSign? From where you sit, what's the next big thing?
We've got a feature that I'm hoping we'll be able to release at Infocom. We're trying to increase the dynamics of how our solution works, being how can we update content on a regular basis, not just like RSS feeds and things like that, but how do we engage a customer that is trying to provide content dynamically to a HyperSign? And we've got a feature that we're working on right now that was born out of the Sundance Film Festival. We had one of our integrators that was there, and we had HyperSign to run Sundance, and they sat down with HP and with some of the management of Sundance to say what they wanted to be able to do for next year's event. So we were there in 2013. HyperSign ran great. You know, everything was running great. But like the photographer, what we're doing right now is we're working with Flickr and Picasa to where a professional photographer, or even a professional, it can be inside of a school environment, a hospital environment, if they've got an event, and this would kind of really fit into your rigging solution too as well, Joel. But what we want to be able to do, what we're working on, is that we have our cloud solution allows cloud-based or network-based digital cameras, like Samsung has a whole line of these. There's a lot of the digital SLRs are having this capability, to where they can take photographs, they can upload them to a Flickr folder or a Picasa folder. And what HyperSign does is it monitors that folder to create an automatic, like a Ken Burns effect or whatever, slideshow, and plugs it into a drop zone. So what we have is these digital signs around this particular live event. The photographer is taking photographs, and as you're taking photographs, it's automatically updating the content around the digital signs without them going in front of a computer, logging in, uploading the photograph, creating a slideshow, making sure it's doing it automatically. So things like that, we're trying to increase the level of engagement with our integrators and our customers, to allow them to say, listen, we want to use signage as part of our regular everyday work life. You know, we don't want to have to end up logging, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. So we're trying to increase the dynamics of that. That's just an example of what we're looking at doing.
That's another fascinating one, because we do that on shows all the time, and it's a three-man job in a convention center. There's somebody out shooting with a digital SLR. There's someone literally running cards back to an operator in the booth who's then plugging them in, importing them, and uploading them to a show, re-scripting the show and re-uploading it. It sounds like you've cut two men out of a three-man job.
Well, I mean, that's really a, from a business perspective, we have our CFOs look at that solution and say, listen, we're doing this before. Now we have a new solution that allows us to be able to save some money, better ROI. And I think what we're constantly doing as a company is we want to increase constantly, being relentlessly increasing the value of what we offer. You know, because we don't, you know, and I've had people come to me and say, what about the free software you get out there? And you don't have to pay for your solution. I'm like, well, that's fine. If you're looking for a basic digital signage company that just produces the information to a digital display, there is, I think Alan Braun told me this the other day, there's 600 digital signage companies out there. I'm like, holy cow. And but I said, if you want a digital content delivery solution that actually enhances your work life and actually protects the people inside your environment and do those different things, the choices become very minimal. And I think as long as we end up increasing that value constantly to that customer and bringing solutions to them and listening to them, that we're going to end up being a very successful company. And even more importantly, we're going to have successful customers.
Absolutely. You know,
it
fascinates me that's the tack that you've taken, because I've been writing articles for years that say, stop paying attention to the cost of equipment. The cost of equipment is a tiny portion of what it takes to run an AV company. It's the cost of people that is everything to our industry and whether we make a profit or not. And, you know, if we can, through a technology implementation, make that job happen faster or easier, then we're going to save money. And what we spend on the hardware to do it becomes almost irrelevant. Because if you look at it, my hardware cost in either side of the business is way down in the less than a third or less than a quarter of our overall costs. Our costs all revolve around people and the number of hours people put into a job. So that's just a fascinating tack. Where are you showing next? Is there another big show coming up for you soon?
We are, well, Infocom, of course, is coming
up. Of course.
Yeah, coming up soon. We're going to be doing some things in the National Association of Manufacturers show. Of course, Digital Signage Expo will be coming up in February. And we're going to be doing some regional events with healthcare, with the HIMSS conference, latter part of the year. I think Gary said he was actually, that Rave is going to be getting into that industry as well with HIMSS. So that's really exciting. Right now, our laser focus is on Infocom. We've got booth 2181 on the Infocom floor, a beautiful 16-foot wide video wall. We're going to be showing different hypersonic zones, so we're really excited about that. And we've got our new partnership with Samsung, which is exciting. We're part of their systems on chip. And what made it very interesting for us is a lot of the other digital signage companies that are part of this program, they're having to basically reduce down their feature set in order to work on the display, on the embedded processor display. So what we're doing is we have a Linux version, which was actually built on Ubuntu Linux, which is what the embedded player inside the Samsung displays is based off of. So we feel extremely confident at Infocom we're going to release a fully featured version of Hypersonic inside the embedded display for Samsung. And Samsung's excited about it because the markets we serve are not retail, you know, so much, or education, healthcare, manufacturing, and some of those spaces are not ones they're in. So we're really excited about this opportunity with Samsung and what they're doing. And they're a great, awesome company, great guys over there, and about embedding Hypersonic into their displays as they're moving out. So Infocom's going to be exciting, you know, exciting time for us. Large booth, you know, right there, one of the main walkways. And I think our priority with that show is actually to bring on just some really very good quality integrators. We want to have some of the best out there.
That's fascinating news. That it really is, because I have a warehouse full of Samsung displays, let's just say that their own product that runs on them, I find a little less than exciting.
We've heard that too.
And my apologies to Alan Braun, who's a really good friend. But wow. Okay, so it's booth 2181, you say, because it'll be my first stop.
Yeah, we're gonna have a bright white carpet, big orange globes hanging down from the ceiling. We've got nice little leather sectionals there with the big video wall, so we're gonna have a very casual environment. And we're really putting a lot into this for the purpose of showing these really good AV integrators, you know, and us being in the integration business in the past, we know how to recognize these guys, you know, and we've got quite a few online now, but we're really, really happy they're on board with us. But we're looking for some in some geographical spots to be able to service a customer, and we want to provide them great product.
Well, that's great. This show will be broadcasting live from Infocom, by the way, so I think you're my first stop.
Well, we'll get it started early then, is what we'll do, yeah.
That sounds great. Neil, we're about to run out of time. One final question for you. Uh-huh. One of the things that Gary and I talked a lot about lately, and Gary and I talk nearly every day about, you know, what's going on in the industry, is that a lot of people are suddenly looking and saying, wow, I was wrong about the digital signage market. You know, there's my company needs to get involved in it. Is it too late? And if not, what's the first step for somebody who wants to get involved now in digital signage?
As far as being too late, absolutely not. I still think we're in the toddler stage of this industry. I think we're still trying to define how we end up, our signage solutions communicate. I did a seminar in DSC last year about how do we integrate digital signage into existing communication systems. So we see CFO and business managers saying, I want to increase the return on investment of my existing systems. I don't want to have to forklift maybe my overhead paging system because I want it to work with my page or my digital signage for emergency alert. So I think one of our challenges coming up in digital signage is finding standardization of how we exchange content with the digital signage network or software with other systems, you know, whether it be some type of ERP system with the business, whether it be different things like that. So because those things are just now becoming to a point of getting on the maturity curve, it allows an integrator, you know, to be able to come into the market very quickly, get educated on how digital signage can affect a customer and how would they benefit their organization. And really, really within a matter of, you know, weeks, maybe a month or so, get into a position where this is becoming a really promising part of our integration business just by adapting this. So I think there's solutions out there at Infocom, through the Digital Signage Federation, through DSE, through all these different things. There's resources on educating yourself on how we do this. But we also have so many things we haven't figured out yet about how we can use. Like you said a while ago, you said there's not enough, you know, what happens when we run out of walls? Well, there's other areas outside the walls we're finding out now that we can end up using signage for. So I think if they want to get involved, I think there's going to be education available. You know, Rave has some great resources to be able to do that. Infocom's going to have some great resources. Of course, that trade show floor is going to be a hotbed of ideas and different companies that are there to be able to help that integrator and end user become successful. And, you know, we hope to be a really good part of that. We hope to be a part of that industry that continues to shape, continues to grow. And with, like I said a while ago, growing at 28% CAGR, I mean, that's phenomenal. I think I did math on it. I think we're at $4 billion as an overall digital signage market, with 40% of that being software. That by 2016, it's going to be over $13 billion, you know, with the current rate of growth. And if you're an integrator and you say, that's one of my potential product lines or solutions I want to offer my customers, that's one you want to be in. You know, so I don't think it's too late. I think it's just the right time.
Okay, so it's booth 2181 at Infocom or www.hypersign.com. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you at the show and maybe talking with you a little bit more. And Neil, thanks so much for being with us today.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, and we look forward to the show as well. Thank you so much.
Sounds great. You too. That's all we have time for today, but join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. Don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our new sponsor, Hypersign, for helping us bring you this show. Check out some great stuff at www.hypersign.com. And thanks for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.